Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. The question I want to address on the program today is baptism necessary for salvation? You know, this is a controversial issue. There are many different views that people may have on this, but we want to make sure that our answer to this question is a Bible answer. The only way to reach the right, the true, and the final answer to this question is by making an appeal to the Scriptures. Many times arguments are made on the basis of how one feels about it, or on what one's church teaches about it, or on what one thinks is reasonable to believe. Well, how we feel or think about it, or what a church teaches on this subject, are not our standards of authority, but it is what the Bible teaches that matters. And also, we want to look at passages that mention baptism. Some people will quote passages of Scripture to prove their belief about baptism, but the passages don't say anything about baptism. Well, we want to look at the passages that specifically mention baptism and that tell us specifically what its purpose is. Well, the first passage that I want us to look at today is Acts 2, verses 37 and 38. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Here in Acts 2, Peter is speaking to a Jewish audience, and he charged them with the murder of the Messiah, the Christ. Many of the Jews were cut to the heart and asked, "What shall we do?" They recognized and believed that what Peter was saying was true, that this Jesus whom they had crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ, and they wanted to know what to do. Well, Peter told these believing Jews that two steps must be taken. Number one, he told them to repent. And number two, he told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, these two actions to be taken are tied together by the conjunction "and." Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized." Both of these actions are to be done. And both of these actions are connected to a third relevant element of the sentence, the prepositional phrase, "for the remission of sins." Both actions stand in exactly the same relation to this phrase. Peter did not say, "Repent for the remission of sins," and he did not say, "Be baptized for the remission of sins." What he did say is, "Repent, and each of you be baptized for the remission of sins." What this means is that repentance and baptism stand in exactly the same relation to the remission of sins. That relation to the remission of sins, which is the same for both repentance and baptism, is expressed by the preposition "for." The Greek word which is translated "for" here in the English is the word "eis." What does the Greek preposition "eis" then mean? The fundamental significance of "eis" is "into." This basic meaning will be modified by usage in various contexts, but "into" remains the fundamental significance. Here in Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter tells the Jews to repent and each of them be baptized, "eis," into the remission of sins. Repentance and baptism, then, are viewed as bringing one into the remission of sins. They bring them into the sphere, state, or condition in which he has the remission of sins. When this is put into idiomatic English, it reads something like, "Repent and each of you be baptized in order to obtain the remission of sins." And that is the way the authorities translate Peter's statement. The New International Version translates the passage, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven." This prepositional phrase, "for the remission of sins," is also found in Matthew 26, verse 28, where Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now notice, Jesus said that his blood was shed for the remission of sins. The phrase here, "for the remission of sins," is identical with that in Acts 2 and verse 38 in both the English and in the Greek original. Why was the blood of Jesus Christ shed? Well, Jesus said, for the remission of sins. Why were the Jews commanded to repent and be baptized? Well, it was for the remission of sins. Now, we know that Jesus' blood was shed so that, in order that, our sins may be forgiven. The phrase, for the remission of sins, can only mean to obtain the forgiveness of sin. Now, the blood of Jesus is that which procures our forgiveness. That is the means by which we are saved from our sins. But in order to be forgiven of our sins by the blood of Christ, this passage teaches us that we must repent and be baptized. That makes baptism essential for salvation. Now consider with me another passage that specifically mentions baptism, and that's Acts 22, verse 16. Now here Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus when he had been blind and without food or drink for 3 days. Saul had been praying, but he was still in his sins. He was not saved. The word of the Lord brought by Ananias to the penitent praying sinner was, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, the sinner is guilty of sin and needs to be forgiven. He is filthy with sin and needs to be washed. Ananias would not have told Saul to wash away his sins if he were already clean. One who is clean does not need to be washed. Saul was told to wash because he was filthy with sin. Not only did Ananias tell him to wash, but he connected that washing away of sins with baptism. He said, "Be baptized and wash away your sins." There is a washing or cleansing that takes place in baptism. But the washing that takes place in baptism is not a mere outward bodily washing. In baptism, there is a washing away of sins. Now, Ananias would not have told Saul to wash away his sins if he were not filthy with sin. And furthermore, he would not have told Saul to be baptized and wash away his sins unless he meant for Saul to understand that the washing away of sins was to be accomplished in the act of baptism. Suppose a man tells his son, "Playing time is over, wash away that dirt." Now, such a command would only make sense if the boy was dirty. Moreover, if the man told him, "Take a bath and wash away that dirt," then no intelligent person could fail to recognize that it was by means of the taking of the bath that the dirt was to be washed away. Well, that is exactly what Ananias tells Saul. Take a bath and wash away your sins. But the bath is baptism. Sins are washed away in baptism. Now, of course, the washing away of sins is not to be understood literally. Washing away of sins is just a figurative way of expressing the forgiveness of sins. And the passage states that sins are washed away, they are forgiven, in the act of baptism. This states that baptism, then, is necessary for salvation. The final clause of this verse says, calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, in the act of baptism, Saul would be relying on the Lord for his forgiveness. In seeking forgiveness in this manner, Saul would not be relying upon some magical efficacy of water. He would be relying upon the Lord, making his appeal to the Lord in the divinely appointed manner. That's baptism. Well, consider with me another passage, and that's 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21. Peter says, "Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water." There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, after referring to the salvation of Noah and his family through water, Peter then affirms that baptism, also an antitype, or after a true likeness, now saves us. Peter is saying that the salvation of Noah and his family through water is a type of the salvation which men today can receive through the waters of baptism. Noah and his family, Peter says, were saved through water. The word through is used here of the means or instrument by which anything is effected. And so water was the means or instrument by which the salvation of Noah and his family was effected. Just as the waters of the flood saved Noah and his family from the destruction of the antediluvian world and also from the wickedness of that world, so the waters of baptism save us. But saves us from what? From persecution? From sickness or death? No, for the baptized person is subject to these. The only reasonable conclusion is that baptism saves us from sin. Now, of course, baptism is not the Savior. This passage is not saying that. Jesus is the Savior. Baptism saves as being a means or instrument of salvation, just as Noah was saved by God through or by means of water. But the passage says, though, that baptism saves us, making baptism necessary for salvation. But also, someone might be thinking that this means water salvation rather than salvation by the grace of God. Well, no, not at all. Let me emphasize that the means, or that which procures our salvation, is the death of Jesus Christ. Without His shed blood, no one will be saved. But in order to be saved by the blood of Christ, we must come to Christ and obey Him, Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. And that obedience includes baptism for the purpose for which He commanded it, and that is for the remission of sins. Let me illustrate. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read of a leper by the name of Naaman coming to the prophet Elisha to be cleansed of his leprosy. It says in verse 10, "And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" Now Naaman at first refused to wash in the Jordan River, but later he went and dipped 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, the power of cleansing, where was it? Was it in the waters of the Jordan River? No. The power was in God. Naaman was cleansed by God's grace, God's power. But to be cleansed, he had to obey the command of God. Naaman understood that when he was cleansed, the power was not in the Jordan River, but in God. He said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Well, just as Naaman was cleansed by God when he obeyed, we today are forgiven of our sins by God's grace when we obey. When a penitent believer is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, he does not give glory to the waters of baptism, but he gives glory to God who saves him. Today, we have looked at passages that mention baptism, and they clearly reveal that baptism is necessary for salvation. Baptism is for, in order to obtain, the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. In baptism, our sins are washed away, Acts 22, verse 16. And baptism saves us, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you have a question for our program, if you have a question about the topic that we talked about today, then we would like to hear from you. And there are 3 ways that you may contact us. You may email us, and our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call us. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may send us a note through the U.S. Postal Service, and our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559. Again, thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.